Well, good morning, you guys. We got the kids on their way, I guess, and we're working out. You know what? We're Christmas message this morning. I have a slightly maybe less orthodox text, but it's a Christmas text. You'll see what I mean with it pretty quick. Pretty straightforward point, I think, that the Lord is trying to make in the Scripture. I've got three little aspects I want to take out of it, but I think just this main point, that God wants to bless you. The whole idea of Christmas and the fact that God would send his son, the whole point, he didn't come just to condemn. He didn't come to make our lives more difficult. Anything, you know, the Lord truly came with this purpose. So what we want to discern a little bit this morning is what that even means, that the Lord God would want to bless you. I know for some of you, even the thought of that word, just a little bit vague. What does that mean? God wants to bless me? What kind of vague goodness is there that God wants to put into my life? And that's where, in this text we're going to look at this morning from Acts, it's Peter's second sermon, just after the church is just being born, and he's talking about the reason the Lord had come, and that God is moving towards us. That's why the message is forward for blessing, that God has moved forward to us, but... So here's the one catch, one of the main things that we want you to try and take away this morning is that God's intention, which he proved at Christmas by coming to us, is that he also wants us to take steps of faith towards him, okay? He wants us to actively take steps of faith also towards him. He's come to us. He wants us in turn to move towards him. So let me show you this text from Acts chapter 3. Just a small portion of this message that Peter had gave. And you'll see what I mean. So he says here, this is in the middle of his sermon, okay? But we're not doing the whole thing this morning. But he says, Moses said, now the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. So this is Christmas, right? This is when Jesus came. He'll raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. And you must listen to everything that he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. Indeed, he says, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days, the days of Jesus coming. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. And he said also to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. One last verse there. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. He was about to underscore that word this morning because that's what we're talking about. He came to bless you. You see that there? In fact, if we just could look at the next slide, it shows verses 25 and 26 together. And you can see twice in a row there, as he's ending this message, he's talking about God's designation, his distinct purpose for Christ coming just to bless you. So how is he going to do that? How is he blessing? You know what? When we see this in the Scripture like this, we know that this promise isn't just a 2,000-year-old promise for those people of that day. This promise is as fresh today as it was then. God's intention for his people hasn't changed. And even in this text that we looked at, we'll dissect it here in a second if you don't remember where, but in this text he talks about the nation of Israel, but also as a light for all nations. This is for us. This is a promise for all people at all times in every place. It's a promise for us that God has intended to bless. So let's look at these three ways that I can discern from this text that God is trying to say ways that he wants to bless you. The very first way is that God is trustworthy. Klaus, can we just see that first point? Klaus? Media? Can we just see that first point? God can be trusted, okay? This is what he wants to try and say. And I'm going to show you how he's trying to say this. That God can be trusted. And this is a blessing. Because trust me, when you think about all the people that you know in this world that you can't actually trust or you can't fully trust, Think about all the information that we're getting through our media and everywhere else, right? How many of them can we fully trust in all the things that they say to us? We're getting information about the economy and the ways of the world and about our health and all kinds of issues, and it's careful what we can truly, truly trust. But God can be trusted. Let me show you in the way that he's talking about this. We'll just look at that next slide, which shows you a highlight from verses 22, 24, and 25 out of the little portion of sermon we just read. And here's what he's saying. God has kept his word. So he's saying, look, you see, Moses is the first one he says. Moses said that this was going to happen, that his Messiah was going to come. And then he says, will you begin with Samuel? Go through all the prophets. They all spoke of this. And then he goes back, about as far back as he can think to go other than going back to Adam. And he says, you look at Abraham. Abraham spoke of this, that these things were going to come. So he's saying God spoke through Abraham. God spoke through Moses. God spoke through Samuel and all the prophets talking about Jesus. And these are, we're talking hundreds of years, and in a case close to thousands of years, people were waiting and wondering, is what God said true? Is what he said true? Will he ever come? Will he ever do for us what the prophets have promised he would do? And then 2,000 years ago, that day came and Jesus came. Christmas reminds us that God can be trusted. His word is perfect and true. So when we read stuff out in the world and we're not totally sure, what do we take with all these things? We know we can get the truth from God's word. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 tells us that in the fullness of time, all the waiting after all those prophets and everything else, God says, at just the right time, God sent his son. When the time set had fully come, it says in Galatians 4, 4 and 5, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. He came to redeem those under the law, that we might receive this adoption as sons. God knew exactly when, he kept his word, and he fulfilled it exactly right on time as he intended to. So God makes promises, and he is a promise keeper. And this is a blessing. Let me show you from Romans chapter 15, verse 8, because he talks like this about these promises that we have from the prophets and such. He says, I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth. God's truth. So that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed. Friends, this is what the scripture is telling us about the promises of God. This is what the scripture is telling us about the way in which God blesses us. That he has told us and he's kept his word. So we can count on every word of God, that it can be trusted. You know, we live in a world where we're hearing information all over the place, and so little of it can truly be trusted. And if we want to know what, like, the world is talking today about gender issues, right? Racial issues. The world's talking about wars and who's right. Is it Israel or Gaza in their war? Who's right, Ukraine or Russia? The Lord gives us his word, and it addresses these issues. And it tells us what is right, and we can trust it. That's a blessing. That your life doesn't have to become shipwrecked, even with your finances, because the scripture tells us the way in which we should manage our finances. You don't have to become shipwrecked in some confusion and follow some group that has gender confusion, because the scripture tells us the truth. So it's a great blessing. But then as we jump back into Acts chapter 3, verse 22, and it tells us that this one who is going to come, that is Jesus, he's going to be like Moses. And this creates for us a second facet of this kind of blessing that we get from God. How is Jesus like Moses? In what ways? Moses, we see here as a prophet. He's going to be a prophet like me. So that's a key word to remember, how Jesus was like Moses. What did Moses do? He gave the law. That's what we're often to think about. The books of Moses, right? The law of Moses. And most people think, I'd actually rather have less law in my life. What I want, like, if Jesus is all about grace, That's what I want. That's what we feel like we need. I don't want any more law in my life. Yet Peter is talking about Jesus being like Moses as a prophet, and yet that is still a good thing. He's saying this is a blessing. This is a good thing that he's done. Now, Moses gives the law. It's just it's the truth of God. And this is what Jesus does. He brings the truth. He exposes the truth. In fact, let me show you this passage, just John 14, 6, where Jesus is talking about himself, that he is the truth. Right? Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. So it's like, well, even if you want to say, well, yes, I want to discern truth from the scriptures, Jesus is saying, you're going to have trouble doing that well unless you come through me. I'm the one who's going to help you and illuminate your eyes and your heart to understand that truth. He says, I am the truth. I am the life giver. I am the way. So we need to be right on board with him and following him. And what a great blessing that is. So we often, you don't think of it in exactly these terms, but believe me, this is something that many of us often do. We think of Jesus as a priest. And I'll tell you what I mean by that, because you're thinking, I don't think of Jesus as a priest. But I mean in comparison to a prophet, because in this passage he's saying he's going to be a prophet like us. We think of Jesus as a priest in this way. The priest is somebody who is supposed to intercede between us and God. He's our link between us and God, that bridge that we need. We go see the priest. And so things that we want from God and we want to connect with God, we want to commune, and we need stuff, like in prayer, I want to ask God for stuff. Jesus is the way. So he's our priest. He's our bridge so that God would be giving us stuff. But here he's saying he's more than that. He's more than just a priest. He is a prophet like Moses in that he tells us the truth. So how is that valuable? How is that valuable in our lives to have somebody who's telling us the truth? It's incredibly valuable. Now, I want to give you an example from Moses so we get a picture of how Jesus maybe does this in our life. Moses, as this great prophet and great leader, what did he do? He's most famous for leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, which means what? Right? Out of slavery. That's the place where they were in bondage. That's where their lives were difficult, where their lives were frustrated because there was always somebody else, something else imposed upon them, so they were not free. They could not do as their heart might have been inclined to do. They couldn't just raise their children the way they wanted even or do what they wanted with their time or their money. They were slaves. Moses led them out of that. He leads them out of Egypt. But then you guys know what happens next, right? When they get out of Egypt, the children of Israel were slow to keep up with what God was trying to do. Granted, it was huge. And many of them wanted to go back. You guys know this, that they spent the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness. All the while, the carrot that's dangling in front of them is Moses is saying, God is trying to get us to the promised land. That's the point of all this. And they had to spend those 40 years in the wilderness. Now, Moses is the man who leads them through. You know what? Moses could have said, you people, stubborn, stiff-necked, I can't take it anymore. I am so done with you people. In fact, God gave Moses that option. God said, you know what? We should just get rid of all these people. They are stiff-necked. They are slow to believe and obey. We should just wipe them out. Also start over with you, just with you. Moses could have entered the promised land. Forget all those people. That's not what he did. Moses stuck with those people. He said, God, don't you do that. I'll stay with them. You stay with them. 40 years, Moses never failed to be the guy. That's thick and thin. We're talking thick and thin going through the wilderness. That's where people are confused all the time. There's still issues coming in their lives. It's causing them troubles, right? Moses was the guy. The buck stopped with him all the time. What a burden that must have been on his life. But he was always there, always did it. He was always faithful. Jesus is this kind of a leader, always there. So we have, especially before you know the Lord, we have our own version of bondage and things that keep us in slavery. Things that keep us bound to sin. And like, even though we know the truth, we can't break free. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the way that breaks us free. But yet we're not at the promised land, are we? We still got our lives to get through before we get to glory. We still have issues. This whole issue of our life, like a wilderness, like the desert, whatever, we can relate. My life is like that. Jesus says, I'm always with you. Isn't that a blessing? He's always there. He's always with us. He tells us the truth about everything. That's number two. This is the blessing of truth. Let me, as a reliable guide, Jesus as our reliable guide, I want to give you an illustration here just to think about it. Because when people think, you know, I don't want any more Moses, I don't want any more law in my life, all I want is grace. I don't need anybody telling me how to live my life, right? It's so ungracious, it's so legalistic, like you get your own way. Pastor, you get your own way, and that's good for you, but don't be telling me nothing about how to run my life. I'm going to do it my way. Okay, well, I just want to give you a little illustration, because Jesus is coming to you today saying, I want to bless you, but I need you to follow me and do it my way. Consider this for a minute, that you're in the Middle East, okay? You're in the Middle East, and you need to be over there, like your family, whatever's over there. But you're in an area riddled with landmines, okay? You just go walking out into that wilderness. You're going to blow your legs off. But there's a soldier who's nearby, and he says, don't worry, you know what? I know the way through the landmines. We've been here. I can get you safely through. But you must, and this is pretty important, you must stick strictly with me. Right? We're going to go through here, but you got to stay right. Like, do not stray. If you stray, I can't be responsible for you. You could be dead. Would we look at that person and say, you're so legalistic. I got to be right with you and follow right your way. That's No. I don't need any of that in my life. Just going to go out into the minefield on your own and risk it? This is the point. This is what Jesus is trying to say. Like, there's lots of landmines out there. There's lots of people that are given disinformation, lies. There's lots of people out there that would like to take advantage of you. Jesus is saying, stick with me. It's actually the gracious thing. It's actually the loving thing. Stick with me as close as you can, as tight as you can. This is the way. Now, this is a Christmas blessing. Jesus has come and says, you can trust me, and I will show you the way as a true guide. Now, here's the last of the three things. God can be trusted. He's a reliable guide, and he is our way. And something needs to be put down in order to get through. Like our struggle with sin, wickedness. If we want to bring these old things along with us, it's going to create a serious problem. How can a person be freed from their bondage and stuff if they won't let go of it? They won't let go. Jesus is saying, there's a way to get through, but if you want to get on the right path, like friends, like this is just seems like common sense, but if you want to get on the right path, you have to get off of the wrong path. Make sense? Yeah? We can't do both. We can't just straddle and say, I like this part over here, but I want to be on the Jesus path over here. It's just not going to work. We can't be on the wrong path and the right path at the same time. So here's how Peter put it in Acts chapter 2. When God raised up his servant for you and he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. I know that sounds harsh, doesn't it? I'm not wicked. Friends, we're just looking at this from God's perspective. He's talking about sin, and we're all sinners. He's trying to turn us, each of us, from our sinful ways. It's just a reality. We all have sin. We all have some of this baggage, and we need to turn from it. You know what? Some people will find creative ways. I got a bad habit in my life, and I know it's a sin, and it's got more hold on me than it should, and I got away, I get out of that. And we do that by just turning to some other habit, right? And really what we do is we trade one bad habit for another bad habit that we think is maybe a lesser bad habit, or we can manage that one, right? And we're doing these kind of tricks to try and get ourselves out of our bit of bondage and out of our predicaments. But that's not really what the Lord's talking about here. He's talking about repentance. Where we're on the wrong path, he's saying, no, we need to turn, right? We need to make a change. We're going to turn from those wicked ways. We're going to go in a different direction now. We're going to go in the Jesus path. This is what we're going to do. And the way we do it, the way we move towards him. So this is what I was trying to say at the very beginning. God is moving towards us to bless us. This we see it at Christmas, that he came, and he still is. He still calls out people's names, and he speaks to people in their hearts, calling you, I want you, and I want to bless you. But here's something he requires, that we will in turn also make steps towards him. In the church, we call it faith. We take steps of faith also to move towards him. The Lord is speaking, his word is spoke to us, and we move towards him in faith. Let me show you a different passage out of Acts. This is chapter 26, verse 18. It speaks to this, where he says, to open their eyes and turn them, right, this is what we're talking about, turn from their darkness to light, and from the power of Satan turned to God, so that they might receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Being sanctified, if you're not used to that kind of language, that's just God's way of saying that he takes people and he changes them. Whatever sin is in us, whatever wickedness, whatever is corrupt or not right, he changes it. He sanctifies, means he wants to change it, make it holy, make us more like him, fit for heaven, right? We sing about that at Christmas. Fit me to be with you in heaven. Faith is the instrument of sanctification where we move towards the Lord and we are changed in holiness. We don't think of ourselves as wicked. How about think of it a different way? Think of it about as being clean or being dirty. Like, I don't know how many of you, how you do your dishes and such. You know the difference between a clean dish and a dirty dish, yeah? It's nice when you're at somebody's house and you watch them and they put the dish in the water, quick wipe, and done. And you think, oh, that's how you clean your dishes? That was pretty quick, man. You can wipe most of the crud off, but I just remember years and years ago when my wife was ministering before we were here, so it's none of you. The lady in our church, she played the organ, sweet lady. We loved her. She raised St. Bernard dogs, had close to 30 of them, and man in her house. So it was lovely to go there for a meal, but man, she'd put a plate down and just, we were scared. We'd get cookies and there were dog hairs coming out of the cookies. Like it was scary. So you get so clean, right? You can only get so clean. Like God is talking about, you want to be clean. Not just a little bit. He's talking, we got to be clean. So we get sanctified. Remove the dirt, remove the wicked, move towards being clean. And this is a step of faith that we take moving towards the Lord. Now, this is Christmas, you guys. God has said, look, if you don't see me otherwise, if you don't even hear my voice, if it feels like it's absent in your life, take a look, read your book again, and remember what the season is about. I came. I came for this purpose, to bless you. And I still am. I'm still pushing in to bless you. You just need to keep moving forward towards him. Put sin at our back, move away from it, and move towards God. So that was blessing number 3. God is actually going to help us overcome. He is our way out. We don't know how to get clean. He's our way. We don't actually just have to do it on our own. He helps us. And I just want to show you a little bit about this third point, how God will actually help us overcome so that we can move in the right direction and we can remove that stuff. Take a look at this from James chapter 4, verse 8. Very simple little verse. It's basically talking about what we're talking about this morning, summed up in this verse. He says, come near to God, right? And he will come near to you. Simple, right? Draw near to him. He will draw near to you. It's encouraging us. Take that step of faith, that step of worship in your prayer, in your active life, in your Bible. Come to God. He's going to come to you. But then he tells us the same step that we were looking at from Peter and Acts, we need to get washed, right? We need to turn from some of the old wicked. Wash your hands, you sinners. Wash your dish. Purify your hearts. Don't be double-minded. You can't be on the two paths. We were talking about that, right? You can't be on the wrong path and the right path at the same time. Don't be double-minded. Draw near. And this is still talking about us. Like, this is not passive. This is talking about that God's not just going to pluck us and hold us and take care of us forever. He's encouraging us. We have to do our part. And Jesus doesn't just say, get holy, and now good luck. And he leaves us to struggle with that. I just show you this passage from Luke because, you know, Jesus took offense at people who taught this kind of a thing. Like, God just expects you to be holy and you better just figure it out. Luke chapter 11, verse 46, Jesus replies, you experts in the law, woe to you guys, because you're just loading people down with burdens that they can't carry. You yourselves do not lift one finger to help them. He's saying this is not the way it's supposed to be. God is not just trying to make a bunch of burdens that we can't do. No, God wants to bless. And the person who's dealing with God's scripture ought not be piling on just more that people can't do. We should be pointing the way to how God helps. Because God says, I'll help. He says, I'll help. Draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. So take a look at this scripture now from Hebrews 13, where Jesus himself is saying, I will help you. This is what I've come to bless. I'll help you. Okay? He says, now may the God of peace, that great shepherd of the sheep, might he equip you. See, God wants to help you. Might he equip you with everything good to do his will. And may he work in us. See, he's doing it, right? May he work in us what's pleasing to him through his son, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He will equip you. He's going to work in you. What a blessing. What a blessing. He doesn't just take over. He doesn't just turn us into robots. He doesn't just take over. He moves in. He moves towards us. And faith has got to have us keep moving towards him. I just want to show you one last scripture where Jesus is talking about like an interesting picture of what this looks like. It has to do with the yoke. You guys know this text. But Jesus said, friends, this is a little bit what it's going to look like. Take up my yoke. You know what this is, right? Like an implement to put a couple cattle or ox together so they can plow together, right? That's what it is. They put it around their neck. And then they can pull the plow, pull the wagon, whatever it is. He's saying, take a look. It's just like you and me. You're in that yoke. So am I, Jesus says. Take my yoke. Learn from me. And he says, just because we're going to work so hard, I'm going to work you like a dog till you want to fall over dead to get holy. No, that's not what he says. He says, no, because I'm gentle. I'm gentle. And I'm humble in heart. Yoke yourself up with me. You're going to find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He doesn't just leave us to flounder. Well, God's told me I got to get holy. Great. God's told me I got to put all this aside. Great. I can't do it. I've been trying my whole life. I give up one for another thing, and then I found out that it's got me in chains. I can't do it. Well, he says, quit trying to do that. Quit trying to do that. Link up with me. Link up with Jesus. He says, I'll be there. I'll help you. Get us off the wrong path. Get us onto the right path. Lead us to life everlasting. What a blessing. We want to be blessed this Christmas. Jesus is here for that. This is what he says. Trust me. Turn from your sin. And let me guide you. Trust me. Turn from your sin. and let me guide you. Church, let's pray. Give our trust and faith to the Lord and turn from our sin and ask Him to guide us. Let's worship together through prayer. Lord Jesus, we know that it is a worshipful thing this morning to say that we trust You. We trust You. Lord, we do. We love You. And the part that we need sometimes more help in even is how to turn. To have You as that blessed guide in our lives. Father, we need You. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit to take up residence upon our hearts. To lead us in the righteous way. To give us the strength and spirit to be broken free from the things that hold us. Get us through the wilderness of this life or the desert of this life like Moses once did. Lord Jesus, it's part of our confession of faith that we can't quite do it on our own. We need Jesus. We ask that You be with us and bless us this Christmas. We know You will. So thank You, Jesus. Amen.